love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as if I have a son, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Father, we just want to thank you for this time to open your word. I pray for the kids in Children's Church. Pray that you'd help them to learn. Father, as they're starting another year of school, Lord, there's a lot of stuff to distract them in their daily lives from you. I pray, Father, that the kids would be attentive and that they would be enthusiastic to take this time to learn about you. Father, for the rest of us, all that's true. Because we're all just kids in your kingdom. So help us, Father, to learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're in fifth grade or below and would like to go to Children's Church, you may do so at this time. Looks like maybe Kitty's leading the way.
Not being angry and throwing a frying pan.
Sin is being angry and throwing the frying pan at Willow. That's sin.
It's me.
So, the anger that remains in emotion, the anger that moves into an action that's not designed to hurt others, but just simply an expression, a crying out, a burning and yearning of the heart, that's not wrong. But let me ask you this. When was the last time that you, let me say it this way, when you feel that way, when you're so angry and you're so upset, do you still feel like you're in the presence of God? Most of us would say no. Most of us would say, you know what, when I'm that upset, I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about how I feel. I'm thinking about what's going on around here. I'm thinking about what I'm going to tell somebody because they deserve to hear it. But the psalmist said it this way, I will cry aloud to God and he will hear me. Verse 2 says, hear what verse 2 has to say. Verse 2, in the day of trouble, I seek the Lord. And in the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. If I could get you to weld an image in your brain for your troubled days, this would be it. Seeking the Lord with a hand stretched out, even though the soul is refusing to be comforted, even though in this distress, he's moaning, his prayers aren't coming out right, his spirit is just defunct, it's flat as it can be, he feels completely disconnected from God, he thinks about it, he sees no help, he doesn't know where it's coming from, but yet that hand remains reaching ever upward. Because how he feels is trumped by what he knows is true. That God will reach down. That God will take his hand. That God will pick him up. Even though inside he's not comforted. Inside he feels his prayers are just falling on the ground. Inside he's empty. Inside, he's lonely. Still that hand reaches up. This is the act of the truest of believers. Because this believer is being honest about his circumstances, his situation, and his God. A lot of times we do what psychology refers to as image management. And I got to tell you, Christians are some of the worst at it. We say, oh, so-and-so just died. Well, praise the Lord, they're in a better place now. They left behind a wife and a whole bunch of little kids. Well, praise the Lord, they're not suffering. But he had a really expensive house and he just started a mortgage and the family's going to be desolate. Well, praise the Lord, there's going to be an opportunity for them to grow. Praise the Lord, they'll make it somehow. You know, it's okay as a Christian to once in a while step back and say, this is a raw deal. This is a bad situation. This is not how God had planned out for those folks.
He has a pathway that's going to lead to success. He has a path that will take them through the forest. But I'm going to tell you, I think that as they walk, they're going to get lots of scratches from the briars. I think that they're going to need some help getting through the mud holes. I think that they're going to struggle to follow the map of life that's going to guide them from brokenness to wholeness. I think that they're going to be hurting during the season that is to come. And that's too bad. And praise the Lord that God sent me to help them.
Praise God.
That'd be you. You see, while this psalmist was still in a state of discomfort, while he didn't know what was coming next, but he knew everything around his world was falling down, he kept that hand reaching up, wondering and hoping and believing that God would catch a hold of him. Verse 4 is interesting because it neglects his outreached hand and says, "You held my eyelids open." I think that means you kept me alive. He said, "You held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that place? Most of us have. Most of us have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, a time when God seems distant, but is somehow He's still right there, making us better, holding us, keeping us awake, keeping us alive. "I am so troubled," it says, "I cannot speak." You know, as I read through these first four verses, there was a very familiar poem that came to my mind. And I thought that it was so appropriate, I just thought I'd read it to you this morning. I'm sure you're familiar with it. There's actually three different versions and potentially three different writers, but that's another story. I chose the oldest one, "Footprints in the Sand." "One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there was two sets of footprints. Other times, there was only one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, and defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, 'You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there has only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why? When I needed you most, have you not been there for me?'" Then the person making the prayer must have paused and listened. The Lord replied, "The years when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you." There is something that is very comforting. If you'll take hold of it, there's something about our relationship with God that is very, very comforting. And that comfort is found in the purpose of our relationship. Because an awful lot of people seem to think that the reason that I accept the Lord is so that He'll bless me and make my life good. That's like, you know, entering into a marriage. If I married my wife for the sole purpose saying,
well, she's going to bless me and take care of me. Yeah, she's going to cook for me, clean for me, wash for me. She's going to do all the things that I want done. What kind of marriage is that going to be? Yeah, short one. That's the answer. It's the same oftentimes in our relationship with God, because when we enter into that same type of a marriage relationship with God and we expect Him to do everything with us, we wind up having a fairly short relationship with Him because He doesn't deliver the way we think He should deliver. Because we're saying, Lord, I want more. He's saying, I want you to be humble. I want you to be good. I want you to be thoughtful. I want you to have peace. Lord, if I just had a new car, I'd have peace. The Lord's saying, no, I think you'd have more peace if you just learned to be happy walking. That's the conflict, that when we go into a relationship with God, believing that, you know, that He's going to fix us and make us, when the reality is, He doesn't fix us and make us. He stands with us. That's what a relationship with God is. So when the thunder rolls and the lightning strikes, when the flood waters rise, when the doctor brings you a diagnosis that the world says is no good, and you're going to die. When all these things happen, we have a choice, a simple choice, of either walking through these things by ourselves or with God. I choose with God.
Amen.
Because by walking with Him, we have a peace that passes understanding. You say, yeah, but I'm right up to here with my troubles. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God, I'm yoked with somebody that can swim. Praise God, I'm hanging on to Him. Praise God, I'm not doing this alone. You say, but my friends have abandoned me. My family's kicking me out. They're wiping me away. They're telling me that I'm not worth it. Well, boy, then you really need to get your ear clung closely to the Word of God. Because when everybody else is telling you that you're worthless, He's going to be telling you, I gave everything I could give for you, to purchase you, buy you, to show you my love, to set you free from the bondage of hate and bitterness and unforgiveness. To let you go that you might rise higher than you ever imagined. And you know where your feet are going to be? Planted right where they are. Amidst the trials of this world, but you know where your head and your heart are going to be? 1,000 miles high in the glory of heaven. And you will be safe and secure, knowing that He is with you. Verse 10 of Psalm 77 says, wait a minute, I skipped verse 5. Consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. So now, this man who has been just a shell with his hands stuck in the air, but inside, everything in him is crumbling. But with that one hand, he's still displaying his faith, reaching out to God, believing that God is going to hold him even when his believer is broken, even when his heart is downcast, even when his feet are like clay, still his hand was reaching up. And things begin to change. Then my spirit made a diligent search. And ask this, will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? And the answer is a question that so many of us have asked. Has God forgotten me? Where is God? In our mind, we've lost him. But in our theology, our stories, we remember him. But then we face the reality that God is not too busy for us. A parent might be too busy to supply the emotional needs of a family because they're so busy supplying the material needs of the family. But God is not too busy for either. He is there. He is providing. He is the God that we need. So, has his steadfast love ceased? No. Are his promises at an end for all time? No. Has he forgotten to be gracious? No. Has he, in anger, shut up his compassion? No. He does not forget these things. God does not change. His constant hand is reaching out. And he's waiting for our hearts and our minds to align in that right place. And as soon as he touches us, as soon as that finger, like, was it Da Vinci that painted that picture, the finger of God coming down, as soon as that finger touches, as soon as it touches us, nothing around us changes and everything in us does. And when everything in us changes, then there's no holding back what we can do. Verse 10 says, "Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord." Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeem your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph, the children of David and Linda, the children of Sharon and Randall and Rudy, the children of Brian and Lenore and Leo and Sherry, and on and on. You see, God is in the process of restoring it. It may seem right now like there's no comfort. It may seem right now like there's nothing but pressure coming in on you. It may seem right now that the relationship's shattered, they're not talking, they're in trouble, which way are you going to turn? The left looks bad, the right looks bad, every which way looks bad. But that's when we find ourselves headed for our knees, crushed, pushed down, but not destroyed, because the one hand continues to reach up in faith, believing that it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be the next day, but there is a day that is coming when God's hand is going to reach down and it's going to touch me. And then it's all going to come together. It's all going to make sense. You say, "Well, what? My kid's already dead." Don't you worry. He's even got a plan for that.
Amen.
Just keep your faith, whatever faith you've got, intact, reaching up, and watch Him deliver you and perform miracles in your life.
Amen.
He can take your broken heart and turn it into something that's soft and usable. He can take your empty pocketbook and turn it into something that can buy anything that's needed. He can take your worn out shoes and give you feet that can walk up on high places. Don't give up on Him, for He has not given up on you. He never has, and He never will. Now I want to challenge you today, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name of the one who left heaven, came to earth, lived here amongst us, suffered all the things of life that we suffer, all the things that we understand about losing loved ones, about being famous, about being unfamous, everything. And He suffered it all. And He endured it. And then He even endured the cross, the sacrifice for our sin, so that I don't have to, and you don't have to, suffer for our sin. Jesus took our place and redeemed us to God. Let that be why your hand stands tall. Because each and every one of us is just in process of getting where we're going. And when we get there, we will be transformed forever. Let's stand together. Worship team, you guys, please come. It is so good to know.